Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Right here in this slot, Chris Landry's with us, LandryFootball.com, the infinite football wisdom of Chris Landry. Bottom of the hour, Tyler McComas will talk Big 12 and Oklahoma with him. They just completed a couple of days ago the Big 12 Media Day event in AT&T there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And Chris, you and Tyler do a Big 12 podcast, don't you?
Yes, we will be doing it. The first podcast will drop next Wednesday as part of our Big Three Roll-Up Network. We're doing a podcast for every conference. We started the ACC and the SEC. We dropped the first SEC one this past week. But, yes, Tyler and I will be breaking down all things Big 12 starting next week. Dave Biddle, another friend of yours, and I will be breaking down the Big Ten. And Steve Bartle and I will be breaking down the Pac-12. And, of course, T.J. Pittenger and I will do the SEC and ACC podcast. Every week you can find it at LandryFootball.com, and you can subscribe to it. You can find out there if you go there, and you can subscribe to it like you do all your podcasts and have it called up every week. So it's going to be a lot of fun. As we said, we get to break down the conferences in more in depth when we can take each conference and spend a good hour or so breaking them down. So we're really excited about Tyler is absolutely great. So I'm excited to work with him.
Had a request. Kevin from Boston is a big Colorado Buffalo fan, wants to know what to expect year one with a new leadership, Mel Tucker.
Well, the first thing that you need to know, and I'm sure he knows about it, but I don't know how many people – I'm sure people will recognize the name. I donont know how many people have seen Laviska Shenault, but he's going to be a high first-round draft pick if he can stay healthy. He is one of the – you're talking about the best receivers in the country, and they got a bunch of them at Clemson and Alabama and Michigan, a lot of places. There's not one player that has as much physical talent, size, speed – playmaking ability than Laviska Shenault at Colorado. Steven Montez has got a lot of arm talent at quarterback. They will go how he goes. He's a little inconsistent as a passer, but they've got good receivers. They've got a really good center, good right tackle. Defensively, they've got a ways to go, although I like Mustafa Johnson at defensive end and Jalen Sam at nose tackle, who's a freshman coming in. I love Nate Lamon at linebacker. Like their corners, their starting corners. They don't have a lot of depth. They've got some talent. Climbing up the Pac-12 South is not the biggest climb you have to make. Overall, what it really comes down to, see, I thought Mike McIntyre did a good job. I mean, he won the Pac-12 a couple of years ago, and I know people may say, well, you know, what is that really? Listen, they went from the bottom to the top, which says a lot about the division of the Pac-12. But a good job that the coaching that they did. But they kind of lost their way, lost their identity offensively. I think what Mel wants to do with Jay Johnson as his coordinator, they want to establish the running game. They got nobody that's run the football of any note at the college level yet. So it's a big-time rebuild. I think what's happened to Colorado, like a lot of the Pac-12 schools, they're way behind in facilities. Colorado over the past few years has worked to upgrade that. Relatively speaking, nationally, it's not that good, but it's getting better. In the Pac-12, it's climbing the charts facility-wise. But they lost their recruiting identity in the Texas when they left the Big 12. And they don't have enough of a recruiting identity in California yet, now that they're in the Big 12. And that's what Mel needs to change. He's got a few transfers in, got a couple of Auburn kids coming in. So they'll kind of piecemeal it. I think Mel's a good recruiter. It's really going to come down to how well they can coach this team up. But it's doable. There's no doubt that they can get into the mix in the South in 2 or 3 years. How far that's going to take them, I don't know. It really, you know, is going to be about how can you compete with Arizona State and UCLA in Arizona. Right now, they've got overall probably, along with Arizona, the worst roster in the South. In the Pac-12, you throw Oregon State in the mix as the worst roster. That's where Colorado is now, and obviously that gives you an idea where they need to go to be competitive. But there's room to climb up as opposed to trying to do it in a Big Ten East or an SEC West or East for that matter. You've got some opportunities. So I got some hopes for their future, but they got a ways to go.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Back to the SEC. Yesterday was Alabama's day, among others, and Nick was talking when asked about what went wrong down the stretch. And he said, LSU game forward, I felt like things weren't right. And when pressed, he said, I think we had some people who had their own agendas. I don't know if he used the exact word, but that's what it meant. Feinbaum said, you mean coaches? And he said, yes. And this had to do with a coaching turnover question, too, because he's had, 13 over the last 2 years, 7 last year. When he talks about coaches having, and again, paraphrasing, their own agendas down the stretch, translate that, Chris. What does that mean?
Well, first of all, it's a great question. I would get to it. The first thing I want to mention, though, is I talked about this over a year ago.
Right.
I'm pretty sure we talked about it. I know I talked about it a bunch on Alabama radio and around the country, that he reacted to his coaching staff to Georgia's ascension in recruiting. And he lost some guys, and he went a little too far with recruiters and not good enough coaches, meaning on-the-field coaches and developers. So I think the overall ability – I mean, listen, you know, the defensive coordinator position, and Josh is a good young coach. He wasn't ready to be a play caller there. And he put him in that position because he was a really good recruiter, and – it was kind of a way to keep them and to keep kind of some continuity, at least on the staff. They weren't as good. In fact, they changed him off the play calling duties during the middle of the season. He didn't get any play or any notice, but that's the way it changed, obviously. And obviously with the guy that they got calling it now, and Pete Golding. That was the biggest problem. And they did, now, when you're winning all your games, fans and media don't notice that. But there was some issues the course of the year. What you had, and I admit, and I got to fall on the sword a little bit of it, I pushed hard for him to hire Craig Kulikowski, who off of Miami staff, he was with Missouri for years, I think is one of the best teachers of pass rush in college football, and certainly over the past 10 years. Great coach. I think he's outstanding. I know him, but I've never, you know, I've seen him coach. I've certainly done clinics and things, but I've never coached with him. One of the things I always tell guys is make sure that it's a fit for you personality-wise. It's like kind of like dating. You know, you can introduce people, and they may think it's a fit. The chemistry's got to be there. You know, and it's not just Craig, but it's other guys on the staff that they were looking for their next job, and there's no question that it is difficult to work for Nick. You have to buy in. And if you think you're an elite coach and you think you've got the answer, you're not going to Alabama to put your spin on his defense or the offense. That spin is already there. You're getting in and you're going to go for a spin yourself and do it the way he wants it. And you're going to be able to coach, but you're going to coach within the confines of how he wants it done. That kind of got wayward a little bit. And a lot of guys were, you know, not real happy and wanted to move on. Look, that's on the head coach. That's the biggest thing that you got to do. What do I always say? And you talk about, well, why hasn't Jim Harbaugh won championships? Well, because he hadn't hired as well as he did when he was at Stanford. That's a big part. You know, recruiting is important because that's players. But recruiting and developing and hiring good coaches are very, very important. And he's done a very good job of that. But he had a lot of changes last year, and he had a lot of ideas where people were kind of – he had a hard time bringing it together. Look, it created a problem. There's no question about it. But that's on him. That's part of what it has to be as a head coach. You've got to have the right mix. So what he's doing now, he's going back to guys that he's had a little bit more familiarity with, a little bit more comfort level in coaching it the way he wants it coached. And so that's what it really means. So to your point is, the own agendas is that they were all looking for their next job. And they all were. And listen, I think based upon a couple of things, they knew that he wasn't happy with their coaching. So as an assistant staff, and this is why relationships matter. I mean, you don't think Josh Gattis was looking to get out or Craig Kulikowski's looking to get out. You know, they weren't going to be back. If they didn't find other jobs, they weren't coming back to Alabama. Nick was going to make that move. So, you know, obviously they needed to get out ahead of it. Well, let's just call it like it is. I think there's maybe a lot of naive fans and media that think, oh, boy, those guys, and it's November, and, you know, whether you're winning or certainly if you're losing, you know, everybody's focused on the last three games. Let me tell you something. You will find that they're still focused on coaching and recruiting, but every one of those guys are spending an hour a day on the phone trying to, you know, find out the scoop, trying to find out where their next job is. And that happened. Now, why did that happen? Well, because it wasn't a good fit. Why wasn't a good fit? Well, that's on the head coach. That's on the assistants. I don't get into, well, where the divorce, it's more her fault or his fault. Look, a divorce is a divorce, and I don't know if it's the problem with 50-50. Everyone's going to take sides. Everyone's going to take their shots. But it was staff mismanagement in hiring that ultimately cost them. And, oh, by the way, how good do you have to be for it to only cost you the national championship? Because it was good enough to beat everybody else. And he said it, we started to struggle against LSU. They struggled against LSU, and LSU didn't score a point on them. So we're talking about just a hair difference. But obviously, if Alabama, if they don't win the national championship every year, then it's a complete examination, a complete autopsy of what you're doing there. And so it didn't go off the rails. It didn't. It wasn't. Nothing goes off the rails with Nick. But at that stage, in the latter part of the season, you know, you can't completely change things. You can get the play calling duties over to Pete Golding. You can do some things differently. You can take things over, but you're not going to have the complete changeover. That has to come after the season. I think it's impressive, and it tells you where they are as a program, that they were good enough, you know, to beat Georgia and go to the playoffs and make it to the championship game.
Chris, you got a couple minutes on the other side.
Absolutely. All the time you need.
Chris Landry back with us here for a couple of minutes. A couple of other items we want to get to. LandryFootball.com, and again, we'll let you know how you can get all that he provides, whether it is in print or whether it's the podcast, it's audio, whatever it might be. We'll let you know how you can get all that information. Coming right back, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Moving to Rank 40 eastbound here near 46th Avenue out on the west side. It's still pretty heavy out here. 65 southbound trying to get down from the north there at Trinity Lane. That earlier truck fire did not help, that's for sure, as traffic volume increases quite a bit now. 40 east coming from Dixon County through Kingston Springs right now. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. It's worth the drive to 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Napa Know How.
Right now, Avalanche AC refrigerant is on sale for $19.99. And because it's military month at Napa, every purchase of Avalanche AC refrigerant and other select products will benefit the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. So support the troops and your ride and pick up Avalanche AC refrigerant for $19.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 7/31/19.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800. Got Asphalt LLC, a full-service asphalt maintenance team backed by over 20 years of experience, reminds all Americans to salute and honor our troops and veterans for a job well done. Got Asphalt LLC, the wise choice for asphalt seal coating, crack filling, stripping, patching, and more. From residential to commercial, call 317-619-9659. That's 317-619-9659. Got Asphalt LLC, proudly saluting all of our troops and veterans and looking forward to serving you.
It's the Greg Pogue and Big Joe Show.
Arsenio Hall with us.
Man, if you ain't seen me live, you ain't seen me, dog. I love the moment. I get down there, I read the paper when I first arrive in Music City, and I just go with it. I never do the same show twice, so it's always a lot of fun.
You are a legend.
God bless you. If loving Greg and Joe is wrong, I don't want to be right.
It's the Greg Pogue and Big Joe Show on WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Bill King is the king of college football, and his sample size is large. Just ask him.
Omni Nashville Hotel. We're going to be in that area tomorrow. Southern Steak and Oyster. Come on by. Chris Landry with us. Chris, I got a couple things I want you to comment on. I mentioned earlier, Big Ten Media Days in Chicago starts today. It's a two-day event. I think that league's going to miss Urban Meyer. And I don't mean just he wins championships. I mean,
hey,
as
let me,
a brand.
Let me say this. He doesn't miss being there. Remember last year it was the whole
I know. Oh, I know.
Yeah, he don't miss it. No, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I had to throw that in there.
No, you're right. But I'm just saying as a brand, and that's not to demean Ryan Day. I think that's probably a good hire. But I'm just saying he has taken the theory about high tide raises all boats. He did it.
Yeah, well, let me say this. The biggest impact that he had, past tense in the Big Ten, was recruiting, how they recruit.
Right.
And, you know, let me just put it this way. How can I phrase this? Help me here. SEC recruiting is a little bit more aggressive. Is that a nice way to put it?
Correct.
Very, very aggressive. Big Ten wasn't quite that way. And also, it kind of opened the door a little bit, because of his background, to go into other parts. He had more of a national brand and feel. Ohio's a great, you know, talent state, but we've talked about it, that the population boom in different parts, that the elite talent, I mean, the large population is still Florida, Texas, California, and now Georgia. Ohio was always one of the top five, and they're kind of on that next tier, but they're really good. But he kind of took them out. Well, when you do that, then it kind of opens up the entire league to say, you know, kids see that, they watch it, they have teammates that go certain places, and boom, all of a sudden, they're interested in Big Ten schools. And you see that in the conference. So he absolutely kind of changed it. Look, college football's become more national recruiting, as we all know, because everybody sees everybody. You know, when I grew up, college football was the ultimate regional sport. I mean, you know, you followed it if you could, but you got three games on TV a week, and you followed your region, and if you did, you had to study and read about it and hear what happened. But you know, you just recruited in the region, and that was pretty much it. To some degree. I mean, pre-integration, you had a lot of programs come down in the South and get kids. But we know, you know what I'm talking about. It has changed, and he changed that. He changed the aggressiveness. I don't care if somebody's committed. I'm going to go, and I'm going to recruit him. And they didn't do that before in the Big Ten. And it wasn't really received all that well for a kind of league that's considered a little maybe high and mighty on things. He forced them to get down and dirty a little bit more than maybe some of the powers that be wanted them to.
Couple things. Jeff, too, wants me to ask you regarding Nick Saban. Do you think Nick has in mind the end game? The here's exactly what I'd like to get done and then retire between now and then?
Here's the thing. I can't get in his mind. I know him very well. I go there every spring and do some clinic stuff for him, but I don't get any sense that Nick is concerned. I mean, for goodness sakes, I'm in the hospital in surgery one time. I mean, I'm getting out of surgery, and I had to put off going there by a week, and he said, when can you get here? I'm like, as soon as I get the doctor to give me the release. He is so focused on the next journey, and I think he's so focused on this year. Listen, does he stop and think about the end? I think most people think that because that's kind of human nature. Does he do it? I mean, maybe he does. Maybe when he's riding at the lake, you know, he's thinking a little bit about that. I don't. My sense is that he's not. That he is about the only thing that matters is, you know, getting ready for this team this year and getting them ready to get better to peak towards the end of this year. Getting it done differently than he did it last year so that it can be better, so they're better prepared. Because that's kind of the way he does it. It's like he always has a little thing. He doesn't worry about the dollars. He worries about the cents because he feels like if he take care of the cents, the dollars will build up. Well, what he means by that is he's worried about, you know, getting the guy's technique to improve today so that they have a better practice tomorrow, that they can build upon that. And if they do that every day and that the coaches have a better meeting and they teach it a little bit better and they stress it a little bit more and they have a little bit more intensity in their conditioning, and every little thing leads to the next thing and to the next thing. And then at the end of the year, if they win another title, it's not going to be because he's sitting there thinking. And if you think about it, you're not going to do anything successful to win if you're focusing on the big picture. You have to focus on the little things, and you have to how that fits and envelop into the overall program. And then once you do that, that leads to the success. And I think that's all he's concerned about. Listen, at some point, it's going to hit him. I think where it's going to hit him is when it inevitably Father Time gets us all. And I think we know that at some point there'll be some illness or, you know, something's going to happen to all of us at some point, maybe quickly or slowly, that's going to have an impact on how we do things. When that happens, I think you're going to see more of the where he's seeing the end. I don't know. I don't get – he may be seeing it. I don't get the sense that he's even thinking about that at this point.
Hey, we are out of time. A lot of people have questions for Chris, and we're going to have to leave them. We'll get to it, though. No, not your fault. We just ran out of time.
No, I go a little long. I apologize. And listen,
you just mentioned Father Time's going to get us. It just got us.
That's right. It did. That's right. And listen, if it can't wait to next week, hit me up on Twitter at Landry Football, and I'll answer them there if it can't hold the next week. But let me know, and I try to do a better job. That's why I got so many damn podcasts. It takes so long to go through much detail. I'm embarrassed how many, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for having me, Bill. I appreciate you.
Tell everybody real quick how they can get your info.
LandryFootball.com. We're really excited again. As of this coming week, we're going to have all five conferences covered. And, oh, by the way, we're going to be covering some of the G5 schools geographically. We're going to fit them in as well. Look, you got a national college podcast every week, an NFL podcast every week, but the conference podcast will allow me to get in-depth with my partners on each school and each league and all the players and all the coaches. And then the Landry Football podcast, I really recommend you listen to. Again, all this is free. I go into the X's and O's. I've been breaking down each position. what are the reads and keys for a quarterback, a receiver, a running back? Offensive line is what I'm on right now. That I think will help you enjoy the game even more. So check that out, all at LandryFootball.com. And to get the inside information even more in-depth, you can become a member. It's a great time of year to do so with the season approaching, all the previews, all the roster analysis on the college and NFL level. So LandryFootball.com is your hub. And listen to us on all the podcasts. We appreciate you.
Good stuff, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Take care.
There he is, Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. We've got Tyler McComas coming up, bottom of the hour break. So let's do it right here, right now. We'll be at the Southern Steak and Oyster on Friday. Come on by. Right there in the same neighborhood as the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Wreck over to the side here on 40 eastbound near Whitebridge Pike, 46th Avenue. It's just heavy out here, you would expect this time of the morning, coming down Ellington Parkway, working your way down from the north. It's picked up quite a bit in the last few minutes, even more so on Vietnam Vets to Hendersonville right now, headed towards I-65. Store closing sale going on at 902 Murfreesboro Pike. Save on vehicles, trucks, jet skis, store fixtures. Big auction this Saturday at 902 Murfreesboro Pike. We'll see you there. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple: incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, the most romantic steak House in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available. Amada Senior Care provides certified caregivers to assist seniors or adults with disabilities in the comfort of their own home. Amada assists with personal care needs such as bathing, dressing, medication reminders, and meal preparation, plus light housekeeping and transportation services. Amada Senior Care services hundreds of clients with dementia or Alzheimer's disease, and they have a certified dementia practitioner on staff 24/7. Amada Senior Care is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and is the only home care agency in Middle Tennessee to be A-plus certified by the Home Care Standards Bureau. They're experts in the field of long-term care insurance and work directly with all insurance carriers on behalf of the family, so families don't have to do a thing. Amada has an exclusive relationship with the NFL Alumni Association to help past players learn how to access long-term care insurance policies that are provided as a benefit for vested players. Amada Senior Care Nashville proudly serves all of Middle Tennessee from their corporate headquarters in Murfreesboro. Give them a call today at 615-933-7494 or online at amadanashville.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. A chance of showers for this morning. Sunny in the afternoon with a high of 94. Cloudy overnight with a low of 75. Sunny on Friday with a high of 95. And the same for Saturday. Sunday showers with your high at 93. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
America's first home for college football talk is the Bill King Show.
You jump in front of my car when you're in the other time. 90 miles an hour, girl, is the speed I drive. You tell me it's all right. You don't mind a little pain. You say you just want me to take you for a drive.
Omni Nashville Hotel. We're going to be right in that neighborhood tomorrow. Southern Steak and Oyster doing the show. If you're in the 615, come on by. Tyler McComas out in Norman, Oklahoma. A couple of things. I want to talk some Boomer Sooner with him. I want to talk Big 12 meetings. Tyler, did anything from the two-day event down at AT&T Stadium stand out to you?
there wasn't a whole lot that came out of day one where the headliner was Oklahoma. Day two, the biggest story from Big 12 Media Day was the fact that if you're an opposing player and you're playing Texas and you throw the horns down at their crowd, if you throw the horns down at one of their players, if you throw the horns down at their bench, then you are going to be flagged 15 yards. Now, if you go to your sideline and you quickly flash the horns down and nobody sees it and you do it discreetly, then you're not going to be flagged. So it's kind of a big joke right now in the league, and I roll my eyes at it, the fact that they use the word, it intimidates the crowd. If you throw the horns down like that, you can intimidate another player by doing so. And a 15-yard penalty is not anything, Bill. As you know, that can change the course of a football game. So, yeah, a horns down and how it's going to be penalized was the biggest story in the first 2 days.
Does the Big 12 know how petty that sounds?
No, I don't think that they do. I mean, if they truly knew, then they wouldn't have their rules official come out and have an entire press conference about it. It's
right.
Not like that was just announced in passing. There was an entire press conference about that, which sparked Tom Herman to say that it's super disrespectful, which I also roll my eyes at that because I don't need Tom Herman telling me that the horns down are disrespectful. When I saw him do something 3 years ago that I've never seen any other coach in college football do, and that's mock an opposing player's celebration on the sideline when he mocked Drew Locke against Missouri in the Texas Bowl. So I don't know, man. It's not only does the Big 12 look bad, Texas is looking bad. Tom Herman's looking bad. It's a big time joke, in my opinion.
Well, and here's maybe metaphorically speaking, but this is just another example as to who runs this league. Because if, for example, you could do an upside down cyclone at Iowa State, and I don't even know what that would look like. I'm just making this up. Or you're playing Kansas State and you could do something that disrespects a Wildcat with your fingers. I don't know. You think that would get done in the Big 12 office as a penalty?
I said the exact same thing yesterday.
Hell no.
And I used the exact same school as an example. I said if Iowa State had a hand signal and people were making fun of it, there is 0% chance it ever gets flagged for 15 yards. That's the thing, 15 yards.
I know.
Not 5 yards or anything like that. 15 yards, that can legitimately change the course of a football game. That's where we're at right now with this rule. It's insane.
Lincoln Riley not wanting to really say Jalen Hurts is my starter. Is that just coach protocol? It's got to be.
Yeah, no, it is. What's funny is if you kind of act like CeeDee Lamb was there on Monday, which is OU's best receiver that people don't know, and he's getting questions about Jalen Hurts, and he's answering it like he's going to be the starting quarterback. I mean, everybody knows who it's going to be. But Lincoln did say something interesting, and I'll give him credit for this. We all know that Jalen Hurts is going to be the starter, but he said, look, what does it say about our program? What does it say about me if some guy just transfers from another school here and I immediately name him the starter? What does that say about that quarterback room? What does that say about the other position battles I have going on across the field? I've got to let these things play out. And to his point, why would you not? I mean, what benefit do you get coming out on Monday and saying, oh, Jalen Hurts is our starter? I mean, we know that that's going to be the case, but maybe competition is good for him going into training camp. Maybe that's the case. And two, Lincoln Riley is approaching this like any other head coach in college football. We know how the transfer portal is now. And as of today, OU has three scholarship quarterbacks on campus. One is Jalen Hurts. One is Tanner Mordecai. The other one is true freshman Spencer Rattler, who was the number one quarterback in last year's recruiting class. They don't have a quarterback committed for the 2020 recruiting class. Maybe they'll get one, maybe, but they don't have one recruited right now. So seemingly, going into 2020, going into next year, they're only going to have three scholarship quarterbacks as well. So you want to make Tanner Mordecai feel like he was in a legitimate quarterback battle. It went all the way deep into training camp. And then a week before you announced Jalen Hurts as the starter, he wants to make sure he has as many bodies in that room as possible. So I get it. I get it in Lincoln Riley's point. I'd say it. I really do. But Jalen Hurts is your starter, yes.
And they do have a rising junior, 2021, Brock Vandergriff, committed out of Georgia, who is, what, one of the top two ranked quarterbacks in that class in the nation. So the quarterback room is in good shape right now as far as the way they've got it layered and stacked up.
They've got several positions offensively where they can kind of go out and get whoever they want, but that's especially true on quarterback. You're right. Jalen Hurts decided to go there for 1 year. Spencer Rattler, number one quarterback, like I said, elects to pick OU. And then Brock Vandegrift, knowing that Spencer Rattler is on campus and 2 years do separate the two, but knowing that Spencer Rattler is probably going to be the starter when he gets there, it didn't matter to him. So quarterback-wise, I don't think it's all that big of a surprise. They've had the last two Heisman winners. They've had the last two number one overall picks. Who has a better recruiting pitch than that right now? It's more of selecting who you want than really recruiting at that position right now. It's crazy how much they have it going.
Tyler McComas out in Norman, Oklahoma. We're talking Oklahoma, Big 12, et cetera. Offensive line radio isn't always the best radio, as you know. You do this. But Creed Humphrey's back at center, and everybody else has gone from what was considered the best offensive line in college football. How are they going to replenish that? Is that just a given? Is it just next guy in, we're okay?
I think it's going to determine if this team goes to the college football playoff or falls short of its goal of winning the Big 12 this year. I think that they are super talented up front this year, but I also think that they're super raw and unproven. For that great offensive line last year, and they were great, they won the Joe Moore Award for the best offensive line in the country, but it took them four or five games for them to really play at a high level. It took them the first time that they played Texas to finally say, okay, now they're playing at the level that they need to play at. This offensive line is going to have growing pains. And to think otherwise, I think you're just kidding yourself. They're going to have to gel together. They're going to have to mesh together. That's going to take time. The good news for them, and I do think that there's going to be some bumps along the way, but the good news for them is I don't really see a front seven on the schedule, especially early on, that should terrify you. Houston's not going to have a great defense. You play South Dakota. UCLA is going to have some athletes, but I don't think that they're just super talented up front either. The first really good defense potentially, and this team lost a lot of starters that you're going to play, is Texas. So seemingly, your offense should still be good enough to get you by until early October when you play Texas, and hopefully by that point, that offensive line is playing at a level where the running game is pretty much there anytime you need it. But, yeah, replacing four starters is never easy. Good news for them, super talented. Bad news, it's going to take time, kind of like anybody else. It's going to take time for them.
Is it Oklahoma and Texas again?
I don't see anybody else. I really like Baylor. I think Baylor's going to finish third in the league. I think Matt Rhule's an unbelievable coach. I think he's going to have a really good offense this year that can throw it around. I'm a little bit more down on Iowa State than most people, but the talent disparity is just massive between Oklahoma, Texas, and everybody else. I just don't see a situation where it's not those two, barring injury, of course, where it's those two teams in the Big 12 championship again. Yeah,
give me a couple of true freshmen, newcomers. They could be early enrollees, but true freshmen to watch out for.
Well, when you sign 3 5-star wide receivers, that's a pretty good place to start, right?
Right.
And I think that all three of those guys for OU, 3 5-star wide receivers, are going to have a chance to get on the field. I'd probably watch out for Theo Weiss. He's going to wear number 10 this year. I think he's got a chance to get in the rotation. The tough thing, though, is you've got 3 5-star wide receivers, and two of them had unbelievable spring games, throwing Jaden Hazelwood as well. And the problem is, though, is that's the toughest position on the field to probably break through in right now. CeeDee Lamb's back. I mentioned him before. Charleston Rambo had a big Orange Bowl. Those kids are super talented. They're really, really talented. But it's going to be tough for them to get on the field at least early because they're just so stacked at that wide receiver position. But if I'm naming a couple, I got to start at the 5-stars if they sign this offseason.
How long before, and you may tell me it's already going on, it becomes a big worry that Lincoln Riley's going pro?
I just have really never gotten a genuine response or a genuine feel from him that he's legitimately interested. I really don't. I think that he is solely focused right now on getting over the hump at OU, getting the climb back to where Clemson and Bama is at OU. And I'm not just saying that. I really feel that he's just not considering that right now. But we can revisit that question in 5 years, and maybe it's different. But I think Lincoln Riley right now is consumed with getting this defense back where it needs to be to really compete for a national championship, winning that first national championship. I mean, I think at some point maybe that interest is there. And as we all know, money talks. He was a massive Dallas Cowboys fan growing up. I mean, that was his team, and I think that matters. But at least for right now, he loves recruiting. He's good at recruiting. And in college football, you can control your roster. You can control what your roster looks like. But when you're a head coach in the NFL, you've got a GM to answer to. You've got an owner to answer to a lot of times. You can't control your roster quite like a college football coach can. And I think that that's a big positive in terms of him staying in the college game for a long, long time, because he can control his, and he's really good at controlling his roster right now, at least on the offensive side.
Leave us with this obvious one, and that would be Alex Grinch, the defense. How much improvement should we expect?
I think you should expect a lot of improvement, but I'm saying that because last year they weren't good at anything. I mean, they had 11 turnovers last year. 11 turnovers. I don't know how you can be any worse than only forcing 11 turnovers. And that, if they're emphasizing anything, it's just that they have got to create more and more turnovers. They're going to be better, I think. I think the coaching staff from this year to last year is miles better. I think the development is miles better. They're finally going to have an identity. And, yeah, it may not be great at first. That means they're still giving up points and they're still giving up yards. But at least they're going to hang their hat on something. And as the year goes on, I think that defense is going to get better and better, which has not been the case throughout the past 3 years. So they're going to stick to their identity. They're going to stick to what they do. And by the end of the year, I think that they'll be halfway decent at it. But if they can create turnovers, if they can double their turnover production from 11 to 22 and be an opportunistic defense, then I think that this defense has a chance to look a whole lot different than it has in the past 2 years. But make no mistake about it, they still got a long ways to go to be where they feel comfortable at being at a championship level, and it's probably not going to happen for two or three more years. But I think Alex Grinch was a home run hire, and I think finally they have a good defensive staff that is going to really help them finally get over the hump.
Tyler, way to go, bud. Appreciate it, man.
See you, Bill.
Tyler McComas out in Norman, Oklahoma. He's got a radio show out there in the afternoon and well-known. Now doing the podcast with Chris Landry. Tyler knows his topic. You hear that? Were you taking mental copious notes there? That guy knows what he's doing. Unless I'm forgetting or skipping something, we have guested it up as much as we're going to do today. We are free the rest of the way with long-form hangout time, extemporaneous hangout time. We could go the whole rest of the way, which is what we'll do. Tickets at Primo Seats. Primo Seats for all your ticket needs. PrimoSeats.com. And remember, use the name Bill Is King. Take the name Bill Is King. Put that name in the promo code box. That will get you a discount of about 5%. Tickets to all these games. We were talking about some of the openers like Florida-Miami, Oregon-Auburn. It's not a – those are good ones, but it's not a real deep list for week one. But I know you folks, you're going to want to go to games. PrimoSeats.com. That's college. That's pro. That's any sport, anytime. That includes concerts. Use the name Bill Is King. Put that name in the promo code box. 5% off. PrimoSeats.com. Coming back, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Appears to be a minor wreck at Nolensville Pike at Morton Avenue. Finishing up a couple of earlier wrecks we had out here on I-40, especially near 46th Avenue there around the South Loop. Just still bumper to bumper here on 65 southbound as we check it out live here, trying to get past Trinity Lane. That earlier truck fire really made a mess. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
An interesting creature inhabits the flat, arid plains of many an automobile dashboard. The bobblehead. It's most agreeable and will nod along to anything, despite having no brain function. But when the bobblehead hears how GEICO not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, he'll nod even more vigorously because he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to GEICO is a no-brainer. Easy, bobblehead, easy. You're going to get whiplash.
Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration would like to salute everyone who is serving our great country. To the men and women who have helped to uphold and strengthen all that is guaranteed to us through the Constitution, our thoughts and prayers are with you as you defend our freedom. This message is from the crew at Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, your stained glass experts serving the Nashville area, specializing in new construction, repairs, and restoration, residential and commercial. Give Butch a call at 615-308-3447. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, thanking all the men and women of the military for their service and wishing everyone a happy summer season.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey, man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Congratulations to Tim Corbin and the 2019 Vanderbilt Commodores.
Vanderbilt, for the second time in school history, wins the national championship. And I believe you have just seen the greatest team in Vanderbilt baseball history.
The Vanderbilt Commodores.
We're glad we can celebrate among all of you, the Vanderbilt fans, the Vanderbilt community, Nashville.
Congratulations from your home for Vanderbilt baseball.
I think everybody loves having you guys being our flagship station. It means a lot to us.
Nashville Sports Radio. The best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Bill King Show.
Just on the city bed, scooter searching for it.
Hotel. We're going to be right there tomorrow, just down the street at the Southern Steak and Oyster. Couple of really interesting tidbits here, or thoughts, conversation pieces. One is about Texas. Another one is a tweet from Von Broadnax. But let me double back on Texas. First of all, I'm happy that they're somewhat back. Now, they're not back in the sense that they're ready to compete for a national championship. I don't think they're there. But last year was a good year. That's good for college football. I like that part. But I have talked on this show for years explaining the politics league to league. And I've told you from the beginning, Texas runs the Big 12. All those other teams aren't equal to Texas. They're not. They're not looked at as equal. They're not treated as equal. Oklahoma is right there, but Texas is the daddy. Don't mistake this. And when the league comes out, holds a press conference, stresses, hey, this horns down thing is very disrespectful. And there will be penalties called based on this. Is not the same treatment that other Big 12 teams would get. If you could come up with a Kansas somehow hand signal that disrespects a Jayhawk, whatever that would be, I don't even know. You think they would say the same thing? Not only no, but hell no. Texas runs that league. They will always run that league. period. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know how petty that sounds? Here's another angle there. You understand that that made this worse because now when people are playing Texas, it's going to be stressed by fans and everybody else to do the horns upside down thing. What do you think that's going to be like in the Red River rivalry? And they split that thing right down the middle with the Oklahoma fans. There will be tens of thousands of them just literally in mocking fashion doing this. Tell you what, man, you talk about petty, and it certainly represents this soft society we've got. It is so true. God almighty. That is pathetic. We need a test. Is there any hand gesture? I don't mean the middle finger. I mean some kind of horns down thing. Is there anything? Because Alabama is the king of the SEC. I don't know that they run the SEC like Texas does the Big 12. They don't. But Alabama is the darling. We all know that. That's not debatable. Alabama football is the darling of the league, any sport. And they've earned that right somewhat too. But if there's a hand gesture that would be the horns down equivalent to disrespecting the word Crimson Tide or some kind of elephant, is there something you can do with your hand that is disrespectful to elephants? Would the SEC office eventually say enough's enough, hold a press conference and say, you do that again and disrespect a big elephant and it's 15 yards? We're not putting up with this crap. It's laughable because it's so petty. It is so petty. Where's Vaughn's? I gotta find it. Where's Vaughn and his tweet? I gotta chase the TL down a little bit here to find it. And I was just looking at it. Anyways, Vaughn's talking about in his tweet, before I find it, I can paraphrase it. Why is it that some people think that Urban Meyer made Ohio State a national recruiting brand? He said, Bill, 40 years ago, we had kids from California, Florida, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, New York, New Jersey. That's outside of the states contiguous to Ohio. If anybody is responsible, he says, for the national footprint, it's Woody. Well, now, look. I can take you back to John Cooper, and Cooper was an incredibly good recruiter. My point was, A, I think, and again, Vaughn played there, but in my opinion, Urban Meyer is the best coach in the history of the school. And now, a seven-year span isn't that long, and it's highly debatable. That's my opinion. And they've had some really good ones. Sweater Vest was really good. Woody was really good. We can go down the list. They've had several good coaches, really good coaches. But my point was more, let's face it, when Urban got to the league, recruiting-wise, was not very good collectively. And Urban called out the league, literally said, hey, guys, pick it up. This is crap. And the league picked it up. He lifted that league. Urban Meyer did. Absolutely lifted it. And won a natty really quick. Went 12-0 right out of the chute. Couldn't go to the postseason because of what he inherited. And competed most every year for a natty. I think he's arguably the best coach in the history of that league. I am very appreciative of Bo Schembechler's historical value. He's not as good a coach as Urban Meyer. Look at his record. Never won a natty either. No. If you ask me right now, Woody or Urban in their prime, I'd take Urban Meyer. That's probably sacrilege. I get it. I think Urban Meyer is a generational coach, not just a really, really good. This guy won big every step of the way. Literally. I think his on the field, you can debate the outlaw atmosphere at Florida. That's certainly fair. But if you're just staying on the field, this guy is one of the couple best college football coaches ever, in my opinion. And I think the league's going to miss him. That is not a Ryan Day diss. I think that was a good elevation, a good hire. That league is going to miss the Urban Meyer brand. That's what I'm saying. Hour 3, we got plenty of time. Coming back.